This is the Social Impact Comms Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. My name is Catherine.
And my name is Marie.
Listen in as we share our lessons learned communicating for impact across movements, organizations, and people working for change.
We are thrilled to jump into another episode of the podcast today. We'll be talking about these centralized campaigns, best tips on how to do it, and how to make a campaign successful.
Yes, so decentralized campaigns. What are they? So a decentralized campaign, or how we're defining it, is a campaign that does not exclusively only have a central component, you know, one central campaign entity pushing things out. A decentralized campaign would be where there's a central campaign unit, but you've also thought about what groups locally, right? Or like what different groups can push out your campaign materials. And I'd say that almost like inherently campaigns are created to be shared, right? So someone would be asking like, well, is every campaign a decentralized campaign? I'd say not so much, right? Some campaigns are far more central focused, but for some campaigns, it's a big focus of their model to have local groups fully equipped with the resources to push the campaign materials out. So we're calling it decentralized campaigning. You could also call it distributed campaigning, networked campaigning, and it could involve in working with your organization may have formal affiliate groups. You may have a national entity with provincial chapters or city level chapters, but you also may not. Mm-hmm. You may be a national or central group that needs to develop relationships, you know, maybe even more informally with groups in different communities to share your campaign out. So what are the benefits to having this type of decentralized approach? Well, good campaigns are campaigns that get shared, campaigns that grow, that build momentum, and that spread. And more people sharing your messaging, more people sharing your campaigns is what it grows. And it also helps build trust for campaigns to be shared by someone's aunt, you know, in Halifax, and a local community organization in Halifax just really becoming a champion of your issue, or a local organization in Kingston really championing your issue. You don't just want a group to post once about your campaign. You want to activate them as a true champion, as a true messenger for your campaign, right? A partner on your campaign, really shifting your campaign into a movement and getting your messages out as much as possible.
So we're super excited to talk about decentralized campaigns and give some tips and tricks. We've also had the opportunity to work on a good amount of decentralized campaigns this year. Catherine, did you want to name some of the campaigns that we focused on?
Yes, we've worked on several decentralized campaigns, and I can name two of them today. So firstly, back in the fall of 2023, we supported our client Childcare Now with a National Day of Action campaign. Childcare Now is a trailblazing organization advocating for public, accessible, affordable, and also nonprofit childcare, and also access to childcare, right? Not needing to be on a long wait list, being able to actually have a childcare spot when you need it. And the context of this campaign was that hundreds of thousands of families weren't able to access childcare in Canada when they needed it. Lots of rural communities and small towns with this issue, but also metropolitan centers like Toronto with huge wait list and many other metropolitan centers too. So like everywhere in a lot of places, there were big gaps in access to childcare and issues related to this being the workforce crisis in childcare and how early childhood educators and other childcare workers needed better wages, better working conditions in order to be able to work in childcare to increase the number of spots, and also more facilities were needed in childcare too as well. So Childcare Now and their trailblazing executive director, Mourna Ballantyne, who we're a big fan of, was able to build on decades of advocacy around childcare and run a campaign in the lead up to the federal budget all about trying to expand access to childcare. And we're giving them credit, you know, credit and credit and credit where credit's due. They were able to activate their local affiliate groups. They had formerly affiliated groups in different provinces and were able to have national campaigning and local campaigning on this issue and successfully moved the federal government to significantly invest in access to childcare in the budget. Also, there's been, of course, movement in different provincial governments on childcare as well. So we're big fans of childcare now. We were excited to support on the communication strategy and also do some design and illustrations for that campaign as well. So shout out to childcare now.
Yeah, really incredible work.
Shout out to the incredible childcare activists and advocates around the country.
Yes, that was a really incredible work, really incredible campaign. And did you want to talk about another campaign that we worked on this year?
Yes. So we were fortunate to support an organization called Momentum with their National Week of Action for Rainbow Equality. So there is a crisis in Canada and around the world of rising hate against two LGBTQ communities. So rising hate against queer and trans communities. And with the National Rainbow Week of Action, it was the largest queer action in Canada since marriage equality 20 years ago. Huge deal. You know, led by our good friend and client, Faye Johnstone, Momentum partnered with local organizations across the country in order to create this huge campaign. And it was decentralized. You're going to hear some of the lessons learned in the tips that we'll be sharing momentarily, but it was a decentralized approach in local organizations organizing events, organizations being able to put their co-branded, put their logo on materials, and just the way materials and resources were shared with local organizers. And that got media attention, an absolute gajillion social media impressions. There you go, the official analytics report, a gajillion impressions. You know, a campaign brand that we did the design for and the dozens and dozens of events. You can check out case studies on our website, linked in the show notes and linked in the description box for this episode on our work on those campaigns. But really also go and give love and support by following those two organizations, Childcare Now and Momentum.
Those are two incredible campaigns, Catherine, and it was an honor to work on both of them. So now we can go ahead and share our tips and tricks and some lessons that we learned that we can share with you folks to help you organize your own campaign. So let's get into it. I would love to know what type of resources can be provided centrally that can help local groups do distributed campaigns.
That is such a great question. We're talking about how to set up a central campaign operation that encourages decentralized or distributed campaigning. So let's talk about a couple of things that come to mind that you can do as a central campaign to empower and equip and, quite frankly, spark local groups to share your message, share your campaign, and really grow and amplify your movement. Step one, have a clear message.
Huge, huge step one.
You cannot run, you know, a distributed campaign where there's no central rallying point or focus. Of course, social movements can emerge over time with varying focuses, don't get me wrong, but when you're trying to engineer a campaign yourself, you're trying to create a moment, mobilize attention, and really put a spotlight on your work, you need to find a rallying point, a rallying cry, key message that motivates people across the country or wherever it may be that you're trying to organize to actually take time away from their busy jobs, their busy lives, taking care of their families. You know, what makes people take a few hours of the week to actually jump in on your organizing and campaigning? And you need a crystal clear message and selling point for your campaign.
That's a good one. What would you say is a second?
Something that we have seen really help with distributed or decentralized campaigning is having a clear visual identity.
Yes.
Because when there's no visual consistency, it's like, oh, is the group in Kingston doing the same work as the group in Montreal? I can't tell. It's in French. I'm not sure. Or is this action in Vancouver with a slightly different title part of the same movement and campaign as this group in Toronto? And when there's no consistent visual brand, it's really hard to tell sometimes. People are scrolling and you just want the consistency to really jump out at you.
Yeah.
Yeah. In this oversaturated information world. And the thing is that when you're equipping local campaigns, when you're equipping local organizers, and you need to think about what access to resources they have and what they don't have. So does every little local affiliate group have access to a professional graphic designer?
Probably not.
Probably not, right? You know, and even if they did, even if everyone had their own designer, there would just still be no consistency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So when you're thinking about what you need to provide centrally in order to equip local groups, you know, doing decentralized campaigning, a consistent visual brand really comes to mind. We often think of brand for like Coca-Cola and we think of it for corporations, but branding and visual branding plays such an important role in helping your social change work go even further, right? Like, what's the difference between a graphic that we were like happy to get some traction and it gets 15 shares, or the graphic that can go viral, the graphic that can get explosive traction and have a similar visual brand to what's posted the next day and the next day and the next day? So people start to remember the look and feel of your campaign. They see a poster at the back of the community center and it has the same branding as the social media post they saw the other day. And they think, oh, nice, I know that campaign. Even if they don't walk over and they don't read every single word of the poster, they think of the connection. It makes them reinforce the message. So we are huge on this. We think that a centralized campaign, being able to equip local campaigns with a consistent visual identity done centrally and locally, goes a long way. But like, easier said than done, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So what have we done, for example, in providing branding for National Week of Action with events popping up over the place? What do you actually do to give visual consistency?
So you want to make sure that, first of all, you create a brand for your movement, for your campaign, and you want to share as many of those assets as you can with different local organizations and those folks that you want to support that campaign. So you want to equip them with all that they need visually and give them an opportunity to add maybe their own logo, yeah, their own voice, so that they also see that they're a part of this movement, but you want it to be recognized as your brand.
Yes, I love that. So, you know, Marie's step here is step one, create a strong and consistent central brand. Step two, provide these visual resources like, we'll say it, Canva templates. Yeah. Yeah, Canva templates. And I liked how Marie gave the point of giving organizations the ability to add their own logo. It's huge, right? Yeah. Because then all of a sudden you have a group in Kingston, a group in Victoria, even more motivated to post because they can show that they're a part of this campaign. It's not just exclusively a national operation that they're just posting on Instagram, that they're endorsing, that they're raising their voice, right? That there's a local perspective that matters. We find that allowing groups to put their own logo on it, it makes them more motivated to share. But we also think it probably helps build trust with the local communities because they're saying, I know that community center. I know that activist group. I've been involved with them before. So pretty cool to say that they're endorsing that. And also then when you think of the perspective of people seeing the content, it's really amazing when you see just a wave of content with a different logo here, a different logo there, mm-hmm, a different logo there. There's the consistency, but it's almost if you're seeing all of the groups that have signed on, but just by seeing who's used those templates. So we do definitely think that sharing Canva templates is great. It can be tricky though. You need to be really careful on who you share them to, especially if you're doing anything where there's an opposition, right? We just did this for Rainbow Week of Action, where obviously we were in a contested space. You know, this campaign was led by Momentum and Faye Johnstone, as we said earlier, and there can be backlash. There is backlash and anti-rights hate movements following what you're doing pretty carefully. So it's not like make a Canva link and then post it on Elon Musk's Twitter X, right? You know, like you can't just post a Canva link and post your brand guide on Twitter, but you can reach out to a local affiliate group. You can reach out to your trusted contacts. And we saw that happen pretty successfully. Then know that people will take their Canva templates and use them and even sometimes put a little bit of a spin on their own. Mm-hmm. You know, we saw a little funky little yellow handwriting added on a graphic. And you know what my reaction was? My reaction was like, that's actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, that's actually kind of cute, right? Yeah. Like, we love seeing that consistency. And whenever you're sharing templates far and wide, you know, someone's gonna add something, put their own little spin on it. But there's still a fundamental consistency. There's still that accumulative benefit of the brand being used more and more and more and more than there would be otherwise. Lastly, we used in this Rainbow Week of Equality a shareable generator tool on Nation Builder. Again, this was not tweeted out into the world on Elon Musk's X, right? You know, with all the risks that come with that. We're not putting a shareable generator right into the world that hate movements could hijack. It was emailed around to trusted groups and with like a lot of thought around risk mitigation there. And as we learned, people love a shareable generator.
Yeah. Yeah. People love to put their own creativity onto something and to participate in the campaign in a way that is accessible and easy for them to do. And something like Canva templates and a shareable generator is a really cool way to do that.
Yeah. So, you know, some of the things that we had in templates were there were templates for hosting your own rally and like, I loved seeing a rally in Vancouver use the branding, and I wasn't even in Vancouver. I live in Winnipeg right now. I haven't been to Vancouver in many years, but just like how nice to see that visual consistency. We also saw Queer Yukon in Whitehorse use the templates for their letter writing event. That's very amazing. All the way through the East Coast. So from coast to coast to coast, we saw these being used, right? So that helped build up momentum. And one thing I'd like to say is what we use the templates for. So you can use templates for a variety of things, but if you're encouraging groups to run rallies, for example, you want them to be able to post the date, time, and location of the rally. You also maybe want to help them announce who the rally speakers are. That was something that we used templates for. And it was so rewarding to see the branding used from coast to coast to coast.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there was events out in Atlanta, Canada. There was a letter writing event in Whitehorse. Shout out to Queer Yukon. And there was a rally in Vancouver. We saw things in Red Deer. We saw things in small communities, large communities, metropolitan Canada, smaller communities, totally all over the place. It was like 85 events in total, with almost all of them using the consistent visual brand. So that was really cool.
Yeah, it was really cool to see a campaign started in Ottawa really make its way all the way across the country, like you said, from coast to coast to coast. And the visual branding was a huge part of that. So Catherine, the first tip you gave us was have clear and strong messaging. The second tip was to have a cohesive and strong brand. What would be your tip three?
So my third answer is going to dovetail from the second answer on branding. We need to bring our materials on important social issues off of just the online space and into the real world.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to run something that's large scale, be multi-channel and try to get things on different channels. See, it's harder said than done to just be like, run some TV ads, right? So I'm suggesting something that can be scaled up or down on a budget to bring things off just social media, and that's print.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, print is so helpful. Yeah. We like handheld signs, for example, because they can be brought to a rally. They can be brought up to a straight up protest. They can be brought to a community event. They can be hung on someone's wall. They're so multi-purpose. So we've done vertical posters that are created to go on the wall. We've done horizontal handheld signs, little thicker paper, that have been brought to rallies across Canada. So think about the events that you're going to and bring your message visually, visually into your events and spaces. And like, printing can be hard sometimes. Okay, we get it. I accidentally printed a digital file like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Marie was definitely a little bit embarrassed on my behalf there. Printing can be a little bit tricky, but we encourage you to use professional print shops, ask any questions that you ever have. Mm-hmm. If you're creating things to be photographed, which in my humble opinion, you should, because taking photographs of your print materials, like at rallies, for example, can help. It's bringing the digital to in person and back to the digital and really just having this very present loop. It goes a long way. So when you're making things to be photographed, matte, do a matte paper and not glossy. And yeah, printing can sometimes be a financial barrier and also a skill set barrier. So that's why within this model of centralized versus decentralized campaigning, printing materials is something that you should try to get your central campaign to be able to do to equip, right? Like the local organizations, because not everyone is going to have a graphic designer who can create a poster with bleed and all the right print ready files and get it to a print shop. But maybe when resources are pooled together to a central campaign, then that can happen. So your central campaign, having designers who can create posters and different products printed to send out to local organizers, go a long way. So it was fantastic to work with Faye and work with Momentum to have literally tens of thousands of posters sent across the country. And I know you're hearing me say that and you're thinking, well, I can't always do tens of thousands of posters, but print can be scaled up or down given your budget. It's also, you know, often a time issue or a skill set issue. So that's why it's like pool your time and resources together and get it done centrally to, you know, equip the local groups. And then if budget is a barrier, well, you can just scale it up or down, right? Mm-hmm. Like, T-shirts may be too expensive for your issue. They may also not be relevant depending on what your goals are, right? But when you're doing like a bulk order of signs, they're cheaper when you're ordering more. It's easier when you're ordering it all together. It's just a great thing to do centrally. So don't run a digital only campaign. Try to bring your campaign into physical space. Take up space with your social issues that you're standing up on, right? If you're organizing for climate justice, if you're organizing for queer and trans rights, if you're organizing for reproductive justice or anti-poverty issues, housing, anything that it may be, take up space. Like, we got to take it off of Instagram, folks.
Exactly. Yeah. And with those printed materials, you can bring them to rallies over and over again. You can bring them to protests over and over again. You can really continue to use them even beyond your campaign. So I'm just going to list the tips one more time. So tip number one, we have strong messaging. Tip number two, we have strong design. Tip number three, we have take it out of the social media world and also bring it to real life. And what would you say is your tip number four, Catherine?
Tip number four is to have some sort of a digital or real life or both direct engagement tactics. So that may be a petition, that may be an online letter writing campaign, that could even be encouraging people to write letters in person and mail them. When you're doing advocacy with like a certain target, so to speak, that you're trying to convince into doing something, it's not just enough to have posters and to post on Instagram. You need to actually have things that are bombarding, so to speak, your local elective decision makers on these issues, right? So there's our pros and cons of the different methods, right? But broadly, the more personalized, the better. Like a lot of politicians will delete form emails. I would still say that a form email is better than nothing at all, being, you know, contacting your reps on a massive scale. But think about, you know, just like what will actually get a wave of correspondence to your, you know, politicians or minister, you know, on this issue, and where you can make it as personalized as possible. So personalized as possible is things that are not a form email, not a thousand people sending the exact email. So as personalized as possible helps. And also thinking of like, how can you get people from these people's constituencies to call, be like, hello, I want to speak to my member of parliament energy, not the just like, I want to speak to any random member of parliament. You know, you're also, you know, when you're thinking about the minister, maybe the parliamentary secretary on an issue, you know, an MP that has some local relevance, like think of the pressure points. So think of what will actually get them to see how an overwhelming wave of people feel on this issue. You know, you may be pushing government on an issue, you may be pushing opposition parties, all of parliament. You may be working with provincial decision makers. You may be working with municipal decision makers. You could be working on the international stage. Wherever you are, I really encourage you to have some sort of a direct mass mobilization approach, because that is one of the things that makes your decision makers and representatives actually see the scale of the issue at hand. Sometimes the term fishbowl is used, like just imagine putting politicians in a fishbowl, because fishbowl is little, it's very contained. Mm-hmm. The fishbowl would be where the issue is everywhere. Everywhere they turn is your issue. And I think that this type of petition, letter writing campaign, et cetera, is a really important ingredient in the recipe of fishbowling your politicians. Mm-hmm. Now look, RCMP, okay, I don't mean a literal fishbowl. we're just joking here on how you can make a omnipresent campaign.
Those are really great tips so far, Catherine. Thank you. So do you have anything else to share that would help folks organize their campaigning?
Yeah, you bet. So media relations is a really important tool. We do, of course, have a declining traditional media landscape in Canada with a lot of cuts, just a lot of cuts to journalism around the world. But it's still something that we can't overlook, right? And mm-hmm. there can be barriers to doing public relations and engaging with media. So to break down some tips as easily as possible, here's what I'd like to say. So start with a clear message, you know, move on to a clear plan on how you're going to engage with media. And you need to think about how to engage with media as a central campaign, but also, and this is so important, equip your local organizers and local affiliates with what they need mm-hmm. to do media relations. So that can look like a national press release, or, you know, national pitching that goes out to your national contacts, but also like, I want to see a little press release template that goes to organizers in Charlottetown. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I want to see people in Victoria and, you know, Toronto and Hamilton and get in French, give it to Montreal with press release templates with the same type of narrative. So, you know, I've done this many times. We take what your national press release is as a skeleton, but then have some things I like to do a little highlight in yellow when it's like a please don't forget to customize this information for yourself. So like, you know, there could be custom blank in the title, which is like local organizers or, you know, local community rallies on such and such issue in blank, like in Hamilton, in Regina, in wherever. So really making it have a local feel. So you're creating a press release template. And then in the release itself, you're leaving places for things like names, right? So that someone who is trying to work with media in Victoria has their name in the press release. So definitely swapping out the name. People can also customize the quotes if needed. And then they should put their own media contact information on the bottom. I totally have been, as running a national campaign, had my contact info by mistake, but that was okay. And got the media inquiry for the right place. But again, like looking like a highlighted in yellow, you know, like at the bottom, like replace your own media contact there. Because the thing is local groups have their own media relationships, right? So yeah. While you need to be putting up a central spokesperson, you also want to equip local groups, right? Because guess what will make the news in Halifax? Like a protest in Halifax will make the news in Halifax.
Yeah.
They don't just only care about what's going on in Ottawa and in Toronto. We don't need to be too, whatchamacallit, Ontario-centric. Grub in Halifax, folks. Well, Dartmouth. But you want local groups to be able to make local news. So after giving that template press release to local groups and also doing your media relations nationally, you want media pitching to be happening to relationships in media nationally and also locally. You may want to be coaching local groups, like giving some support. Some folks will be like good and they'll have like incredible local relationships with media already, but some groups may need your support. Another thing to mention is you're going to have your key messages and you're going to take them into like prep materials for spokespeople nationally and locally. And like if you can have a practice session, if you can help them, that's great, right? So you need to think about how to equip a almost like movement of spokespeople. Lastly, I want to say when you think about media, think about the different channels that exist. It's great to be on the radio. It's great to be in newspapers, whether it's print, online. It's great to be on TV. You can think about media like There could be trade media, right? If you're trying to make change within something specific where there's media for, like in the city building or municipal space, there's outlets just for that. But for media, also don't forget op-eds. I love to do a media launch and then circle back a few weeks later with trying to get an op-ed placement. So be creative with your media. It's not Globe and Mail or bust. And make sure that you are working towards equipping your local groups with media, not just only doing a national campaign.
I love that advice, Catherine. Media is really important. We can't forget about media and utilizing media for our benefit when it comes to these campaigns. I love what you said about equipping your local organizations with what they need in order to reach out to media. That can be really intimidating if it's something that you haven't done, but it's a huge asset. I also love the point you made about prepping and using your key messages in order to know how to speak to media, what to respond to media. When you're equipped with those key messages, any question that comes your way, you'll be ready to answer. So that's really good tips there. Do you have any other tips to share with us, Catherine?
Yes. This has been a long list, but I have one more tip.
Last one.
And that's to make it easy.
Yeah.
How do you, as a central campaign, equip local groups to share your message, to grow your campaign, to become messengers sharing your campaign? Make it easy for mm-hmm. them. Okay. They're busy. They're busy. They don't need to be trying to decipher this confusing, you know, email or confusing set of instructions. Make it easy. You want to have clear asks mm-hmm. that are going to local groups. The goal would be to try to make it a reasonable ask, right, in what you're asking about them, and something that'd be scaled up or down with different capacity. You want to have clear communications with them. Obviously, you reach out as early as possible in advance. Sometimes you even may want to do a public call out saying like, oh, we don't have anyone in Saskatoon yet. You know, does anyone want to join in from Saskatoon? Just, mm-hmm. you know, transparency level, having that type of call out can be helpful. But other things to make it easy is you want to have a social media toolkit. You want to have like an organizing package for groups on like the spokesperson key messages, the press release, just everything in one place with clear instructions. And I always love to do, if you're telling people, don't post until Monday, like highlight that in yellow, just the most clear mm-hmm. instructions possible. And we've also been working on another campaign that we haven't quite talked about today as much, but, you know, they showed the power of what orientation sessions can provide, right? So yeah. They had like a longer time to be developing their campaign, did a lot of community engagement. When they had materials, they did show and tell sessions mm-hmm. to groups that had been involved in the creation or engagement related to the campaign, which, like, love a cute little show and tell moment. And provided orientation sessions. So if you remember one thing, it's try to resource local groups, whether they're formally affiliated with you or not, equipping them with what they need and making it easy.
Yeah, making it easy is key. When you're working on these campaigns, it ends up being what you're focused on from a day-to-day basis. It's what you're thinking about all the time. So you want to make sure that when you give these resources to other organizations that you want to support your campaign, you're making it as easy as possible. They're seeing a lot of that stuff for the first time. They don't want to have to decode something, right? You want to make it easy. You want to make it so they can log in, follow instructions, and things can be really simplified.
Well, thanks so much. It's been great to be talking about decentralized campaigns with you. It's just such a powerful approach. So until next time.